Today's gospel comes from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid hands on the woman, she immediately stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue became indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But Jesus responded and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said all this, his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine the woman so bent over, unable to stand up straight, that the focus of her eyesight was more toward her belly button than the world in front of her? Her sight line, her worldview, would be obstructed as if you were given the puzzle I just gave the kids. Their puzzle looked something like this. And if I asked you to tell me how many backpacks or scissors or triangles are on this page, you probably won't tell me the correct answer. And yet, the woman finds her way to the synagogue, and Jesus sees her. Our gospel tells us that Jesus sees her, and Jesus called her over to him. This woman didn't approach Jesus. This woman didn't ask Jesus to be healed. And yet, Jesus sees her, calls her, declared to her that she may be made free from this unbound ailment. And when Jesus laid his hands on her, she stood up straight, her focus broadened, and her worldview changed. She got a more complete picture. But it's not just her worldview, but the kingdom of God in the midst of this worldview. And she began praising God in the synagogue. Now, the leaders of the synagogue were not happy at all about this, and they became indignant. Jesus' actions, healing on the Sabbath, the woman praising God, no doubt interrupt their worship plan. They confront Jesus. "There are 6 days for work to be done. Come on those days, be cured, but not on the Sabbath." And Jesus looks at the religious leaders, and he calls them hypocrites. And he asks them, "Don't you take your ox and your donkey to water on the Sabbath? Don't you unbind them and take them to life-giving water?" And then Jesus said, "Should this woman, this daughter of Abraham, who's been bound for 18 years, not also be set free from bondage?" Jesus, you see, also knew the bondage of the religious leaders' hearts, that their view of God's kingdom was also bound. While they were not physically bound like the woman, their view was also limited by their own metaphorical navel gazing. Their view was focused on the letter of the law. Sabbath is for rest, and rest only. But Jesus has good news in this. There's more to the Sabbath than rest. It's also being set free. Their view was focused on the center of the law, but it also could have been obscured by these things: self-righteousness, judgment, pride, ego, their own hurts, their own despairs, their own desires, their fear, their own agenda, or their status. There could be others, but these things draw us away from viewing the kingdom of God. And the focus of the religious leaders becomes more and more focusing away from the kingdom of God and more turning toward their belly button. Their kingdom of God view becomes obscured. They miss God showing up in action, and there is not praising going on in their hearts, but there's indignation and shame. So I wonder, does this happen to us today? Can you think of an example? Things that take our attention away from the kingdom of God, that bring our gaze in on ourselves? Several years ago, I was part of the House of Grace Mission Start in Montrose, Minnesota. And it was a small gathering of people, and it was there I truly began to understand the power and the vastness of this statement. The church is not a trophy case for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Let me say that again. The church is not a trophy case for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Now, this place was special. It was a place where all were welcomed. And when I say all, I mean all. Those came without shoes on their feet were welcome. Those that had been hurt by the church, rejected by the church, were welcomed there. Some just didn't fit in anywhere. There were some people bound by addiction. And there were those that were generally more broken than the average church was comfortable with. It was there my eyes were open to the power of the Spirit and the radical love as part of the kingdom of God. There were many times you'd find yourselves humbled and moved to tears. And as you could feel the presence of God, something holy was happening. And we were left, and we left worship, praising God. There was one Sunday, a young man, the adult son of one of the leadership team, came to worship. Now, he had never attended worship before, and it was quite obvious that he was struggling with addiction. He was most likely under the influence when he came to worship. And as he came in, He was welcomed to a group, to a table, because we worshiped around tables. He was handed a cup of coffee. And as we worshiped, he didn't actively engage, but he sure did listen. And he sure was observing everyone attentively until prayer time. And it was then he stood up and he asked if we would pray for him, for healing, for his sobriety. And the prayers the pastor had written for the day were changed. And they concluded with a time of those who were at worship gathered around this young man. And we prayed for him. And as the prayer was wrapping up, he offered his own prayer. There was not a dry eye in worship. And most of the eyes of those gathered around were very holy, sacred tears. All except for one. His mother's eyes. They were full of mad and angry and indignant tears. She stormed out of worship, not to return. And she refused to talk with anyone associated with House of Grace ever since. The House of Grace community weeps for the loss of his mom. And we pray that whatever is in her way of seeing this amazing event may be removed. But there was something special about that day, because that day was the beginning of freedom from bondage for her son. After worship, they made arrangements and he went into treatment the very next day. He started the road of recovery and he relapsed. He went into treatment again. And yes, he relapsed. He went back into treatment and is now fully living who God has created him to be, living unbound from addiction to living a life of recovery. He's now holding a full-time job. This one young man who everyone thought was too screwed up to ever find a life partner is married and is a father of two beautiful children. He shares his testimony often, and he talks about the change in his vision. That day, that worship, his experience of the world has dramatically changed. From the view of bondage of addiction to the kingdom of God view. Full of mercy, full of grace, full of love, and full of forgiveness. His view is unobscured. Ryan, if you do one more. You can fully see this part of the kingdom of God. Today in this gospel, we hear both law and gospel of the text. It calls us to acknowledge what binds us, what limits us, and what we see. And the good news that Jesus sees us and what binds us, and calls us from turning our navel gazing to look up, to look out, and to view the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, stand us up in faith today. Lift our eyes to see you clearly. Take away our weariness. satisfy our hearts as we prepare to enter into this week. It can be so easy to feel overwhelmed by new schools, by sickness, by hopelessness, by despair, the evidence of a world gone mad. But help us, just for a moment, to give these concerns and worries to you. We come to you, God, bent over with our own things, our own inner longings and our own struggles. We give them to you. And as you stand us up straight, allow us to experience life through you. A wholeness that comes from only you. For you are guiding us, comforting us, forgiving us, encouraging us, loving with us. God, you are with us. Stay with us in our breath and in our bones and in our DNA. Let your love shape and guide who we are today. Let it reshape us. Let it form new words and change our steps. And make us new all over again. Your faithfulness for us, God, is astounding. Your miracles and mercy take our breath away. Lift our eyes to you and send us into our life, into this world, knowing and seeing that you are with us. Amen.